Hi, my lovely listener, this is Véronique, your host. So before I introduce you to the next guest, I want to make a little announcement. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now, and I have a new path in my life, and this is fantastic. I love it, and I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're interested about having a sound bath, or if you want to know about sound bath, I do virtual sound bath because I know a lot of you are listening from abroad. So we can do Zoom, we can do YouTube. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and inner peace, offer virtual one-on-one sound healing sessions and online group sound bath designed to help you release stress and restore balance, and using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guided meditation, each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. So if you're ready to shift your energy and raise your vibration, visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today. Today, I speak with Eddie Stone. Eddie is the founder and CEO of Touchstone Essentials and has spent more than 25 years studying natural health, detoxification, and zeolites. His expertise in heavy metal detox and cellular cleansing offers a unique, deeply informed perspective on how removing physical toxins can complement spiritual and personal development. With an approach rooted in science and hands-on experience, he's passionate about empowering people to restore their vitality and well-being in accessible, practical ways. Hi, Eddie. Thank you for coming to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Véronique, and wonderful opportunity to be with you. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much. We're going to talk about detox, wellness. Love those topics. So you're founder and CEO of Touchstone Essentials.
That's
and
right.
We're going to talk about all your products and what you do for the world. So let's talk about how it all started. It started with your mother.
Yeah.
So I read on your website that there was a pivotal moment during your mother's health crisis that opened your eyes about the dangers of everyday toxin.
Yes.
So can you tell us, what happened?
Yeah, I'm happy to. And let me give just a full picture. So as we're sitting here today, I'm 62 years old, and really I've been in this area of business for, well, darn near 40 years. I mean, really all of my adult life has really been in the field of nutrition. And I had, before my mom had a situation, I call it, I was involved in nutrition, mostly just from a sales standpoint. And I appreciated nutrition and supplements. But, when you're in your mid-20s, you're kind of feel bulletproof in life, right? You don't yet kind of have those hard knocks, and you can kind of get away with eating anything you want and still feel pretty good the next day. Of course, that changes. At least it changed for me sometime in my 30s, right? Where now if I eat late at night, anyway, just more difficult. So I think everybody listening knows what I mean.
Yeah.
And my own personal interest was really heightened because I had a insurance exam for work, and man, my cholesterol and my triglycerides and my blood, they were all terrible. And it's mostly because of how I was eating and just how I was taking care of myself, which wasn't very good. And so it's kind of a wake-up call. But then really what made it more serious was my mom, Judy, who's alive and well today, and healthy. So she recovered from this, but she spent a couple of years kind of wasting away in front of us. In our community in North Carolina, where I live, pretty good doctors, and we have some university hospitals. And so for a couple of years, we cured her where we could, and no one could really tell us what was going on. And she was slowly slipping away, right? It was really kind of getting worrisome because she wasn't getting better. And it wasn't till we got a referral to a doctor that at least locally no one really knew about. So it was a bit of a risk to go see. But turned out this doctor was heavily involved in environmental toxins and the role that plays in your health, which wasn't a subject myself or my family or even our local medical community really talked about. Turns out she had breast implants when she was younger, and she was having a really strong autoimmune response to those implants after probably 6-8 years. So it took a while. One of them, we believe, was seeping and leaking into the tissue with some of the material in it. It was kind of breaking down. So once they were taken out, she went to a really serious and somewhat dangerous level of IV chelation, but she recovered. And so as a family, you know, you're quite grateful and thankful, but also all of a sudden, your awareness of these external things that you just don't think much about and the role they can play in your health. And so for me, I really started to think about, you know, from everyday standpoint, whether it's volatile organics or things that come in your dry cleaning or PFASs that you find in nonstick cookware or stain-resistant carpet or when you fly on an airplane, flame retardant. I mean, there's just all these chemicals that you might not see them, might not think about them, odorless. You know, you don't get a visual that really do play a role in your health. And then for some people, right, it's pretty serious. So they can have acute problems, skin issues, autoimmune issues like my mom had, even things much more seriously because they're hormonally disruptive. They can be neurotoxic. For other people, it's not as big a deal, but there is a cumulative impact over time, particularly how your body sequesters toxins that it doesn't know how to manage into the fat cells and other regions of the body. So I just began to realize that it's not just what you put in your body, right? Good, clean nutrition, things like that, that play a difference, but it's also what you're trying to get out or help to get out. And your body's got great pathways for this, right? There's wonderful, the body's, you know, genius, but it was really a wake up call for me. So as my career progressed, there's a couple of things that became important to me. One is to really give people tools to aid their own efforts, both habit-wise, but what they utilize from a supplement standpoint with detox, not the same as cleanse, but then also to think about good, clean nutrition, because I'm a big fan of supplements. I think they can kind of bridge a gap of where you are and where you want to be. But man, there's a lot of supplements out there. And in fact, I'm going to argue 99% of what's out there, you know, it's manufactured like fast food. It isn't what people think. And it's not something that we would realistically call clean. And so, you know, I think human beings, we live in such a fast-paced life, fast, you know, on the go and on demand. We don't realize sometimes how we're not serving ourselves either in the moment or long term with just what we're putting in or how we're managing what we're exposed to. And so we spend a lot of time trying to educate people and just make them aware. Maybe we can nudge them on a couple habits. You know, change a few things here and there because we just think the value to their health, both in the moment and long term, is too important to ignore.
So you mentioned that many supplements contain like ultra processed ingredients and toxic additives. So can you break down what consumers should look out on, like, on labels? Because, you know, we're not aware of what's good or not because I take supplements every day and I think my supplements are the best. So what should I look at the, you know, what should I be careful of on the labels?
Well, you know, I'll just give you a kind of a really simple idea. When you look at a label, if there are sort of words there that just don't seem familiar, that's the first caution, right? And maybe take a moment and look a few things up. You know, we can be inquisitive in life about a lot of things, but sometimes when you're buying something at the grocery store or you're taking a supplement, you don't ask enough questions or ask very many questions. And so whether it's different types of preservatives or dyes or artificial sweeteners, maybe even things like energy drinks, right, which is a prime example of where consumers aren't looking at all, you can see commonality in some of those labels with supplements, particularly their powdered supplements. And so people don't really look at it. And so, and then we'll dive a little deeper. Let's just say, for example, you've got a supplement that has vitamin C in it. Well, very often, which is common, right? You know, very often in parentheses next to vitamin C, you'll see the word ascorbic palmitate or ascorbic acid.
Yeah.
Something that looks like that. The vitamin C molecule is actually an 8-part compound. You know, it's found in nature, it's found in food. But ascorbic acid, for example, is just the outer ring of that compound. It's incomplete. And in fact, it is very much similar to the eggshell to the egg. And the eggshell is not the egg, right? Mm-hmm. And so for it to work in your body, your enzyme system and other properties perform chemical reactions where they break down the other 7 components or 6 or whatever's needed to rebuild the complete vitamin C molecule for absorption and utilization by the body. It's inefficient. That's why oftentimes people are told to take really large dosages of vitamin C. And it also creates an inflammatory response during this process. And so, you know, you could argue, you know, which is more challenging to the body. Now, we know vitamin C is essential and necessary, and disease can spring from not having enough vitamin C. But in a modern world, we're not trying to sell from, you know, one country to the next and there's no vitamin C and you got to grow lemons or limes on a boat to get the vitamin C, right? We're not faced with those dire circumstances. And so scurvy or something like that is really not there. And so what we know is the body best utilizes vitamin C in its whole form. So an example would be acerola cherries. If you saw vitamin C next to it from acerola cherry, acerola is a, kind of a sour cherry. You don't really consume it with food, but it is a highly consumed product because about 25% of it at best, maybe as low as 15%, is really vitamin C. And so you can actually harvest the vitamin C from acerola cherry, provide it as you're sourcing for vitamin C. And this is really true, really, with, I don't want to bore everybody with all the sort of gory details, but this is really true with, you know, vitamin D, vitamin E, just across the board, how those things are processed. They're offshoots of, say, the production of corn into gasoline or soybeans. And so they turn out to be either isolates, which is a common term, or mimics, right? So in that case, they're a synthetic petrol-based production where chemically it looks the same, but its biological activity is not the same as from, say, the C you find in, say, broccoli. Not a lot of C in broccoli, but some. Acerola cherries, fairly high. So what we do, I mean, one is try to educate people on this. So if we could just nudge people to even eat a few more whole foods, yeah, just day in and day out, just a few more, right? Just a little less ultra-processed food. But in our supplements, right, we're making them from broccoli, kale, cabbage, tomatoes. So when you turn the label around, unless you're reading about the enzymes, the words are very common, you know, tomato, raspberry, strawberry. And so that's a good way to kind of look, right? Do I understand in simple terms this label, or do I need a science-based dictionary? That's a good place to start, because when you're supplementing, you should try to follow the natural essences, extracts, or whole food forms of food as much as possible to just kind of assure bioavailability. And it doesn't matter what you're paying, right? I mean, sometimes a supplement, the label on a $6 multivitamin can be the same as a $200 multivitamin. It's not very distinctive. It's just marketing differences. And so you can go back and look at all kinds of sourcing and where it comes from. And it's just an industry that, because of the lack of regulation, consumers often aren't getting sort of what they think from a sourcing standpoint, or even what the ingredients really are.
So how did you approach formulating products centered around organic fruits, vegetables, and herb rather than synthetic, you know, additives?
As I grew up in the supplement industry, and I traveled to places where raw material was produced, such as Southeast Asia, and plenty of factories. So, I mean, I've kind of been all over the world in my career with this business, from looking at the farms, production facilities, manufacturing facilities. I mean, just the whole range of things involved with bringing a supplement to market. I became more and more concerned that consumers, and what I was advocating for myself and my family, wasn't what we expected or wanted. And sometimes the more you know, the more concerned you can be. And so in 2010, I had a good career, a high-paying career in this industry, but I just decided I could no longer sort of operate with traditional sourcing, and I really did want to move to whole foods and organics. And so that really led to doing the work necessary to bring Touchstone Essentials to market in 2012. And what I have found is that oftentimes people with really great intentions, they just don't know about some of these details. And so we've made it our mission just to provide people with an education so that they have a chance to make an informed decision. If they decide they just want to do the same old, buy what they're buying, and that's perfectly fine, that's great. But what we have found over time is that for a lot of people, there's a lot of money people spend on supplements. They're looking for answers. Sometimes they're looking for quick fixes, which aren't the best, right? You're not overnight going to recapture the fitness or the health of your teens, you know, when you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, Or if you're in your 60s, man, you're really like me. You're going to need some time. And so we just try to say, hey, let's step back and really look at this process, get a person there. What do you really want out of supplements? What are you trying to get them to do for you? And then let's focus on those areas and make incremental gains, incremental new habits. And it may be that a person just needs to move more, get a little exercise, or drink more water, or whatever it happens to be to get to their goals. So we try to advocate a real holistic view of health. And if supplements are going to be a part of that, great. But that isn't always the answer for someone knives that.
Something for me that really can tell me that it's organic or not and it's good or not is the way it becomes bad on the shelves. Because when it lasts forever, I know something is wrong. So for example, like, you know, bread or something like that, it's been 2 weeks there and there's no mold. So I'm like, okay, this bread is no good. And I was raised in France when we buy fresh bread every day. And after 2 days, the bread is hard, you know, to break. So, you know, it's not good anymore.
Sure.
So your vitamins, for instance, if I buy vitamins from you, how long is that going to last? Because it's all organic, all fresh. So is it powder? Is it pills?
Yes. So our nutritional supplements really all come in a powdered form. Mm-hmm. They may be capsulized, or they might literally be a powder in a bag. And the way that we're able to have good shelf lives depends upon the product, but it's 18 to 24 months, which is what your regulations are asking for, is that we dry them and we use a cooler process. And so what we want to avoid is heating our fruits and vegetables above, say, 118 degrees Fahrenheit, except for a few of them, which a higher temperature may maximize the nutritional output. For the most part, you know, greens, cruciferous vegetables, some of these nightshades, some of these other things that we want, if you get them above, say, 116, 118 degrees Fahrenheit, you begin to denature the nutrition or the nutritional substances. Flash pasteurization, which is a commonly used safety marker in food, that's 185 degrees. At that point, we've really changed the composition, and we've sort of negatively impacted the potency of supplements, unless you're talking about grains. You could argue oats and a few other things, the high temperature releases things, but just for the most part, phytonutrients are very delicate. Because you also, in addition to denaturing the nutrition, you also then kill off the native enzymes, which aid in digestion and bioavailability. So we try to dry what are called cool temperatures, right? Slow drying process. And once we do this, you're really removing through the process, the sugars are gone and the fibrous material. These are the things that then allow us to capsulize and dense form the fruits and vegetables. Like, for example, a scoop of our greens juice, 44 different fruits and vegetables, USDA certified organics, great product, and tastes good because high temperatures also create an acrid or a bitter taste. And with greens particularly, right, they can then become not very pleasant.
Yeah.
And so this creates a dry environment. We seal them quickly. We process quickly. And so now you eliminate as much as possible any oxidation. And where things degradate over time with natural fruits and vegetables, such as bread, is oxidation. Mm. We're not using preservatives, so we have to really be cautious about that. We have deficits inside the product to absorb oxygen, but we're able to get a shelf life and a potency upon which product 18 to 24 months. But the truth is, we really want people to consume it much quicker than that.
Yeah.
So we have subscription programs for a monthly basis. We just prefer people do that so that they get the freshest possible product. Mm-hmm. You know, our inventory control and shipping is in time, they call it. And so we're not, you know, buying enough for 5 years. We buy enough bottles for 5 years and lids and labels. But these raw materials, we want them to be fresh. And so we're running purchase orders literally on a monthly basis to keep things as fresh as possible, because that's really what drives our business. We do some retarget advertising, but really it's the word of mouth reputation of the products that really is how we wind up on podcast or how we wind up, you know, out in the community. We've got a number of influencers that found us through sort of word of mouth and reputation. And it's allowed us to grow into really a large global organization, because I'll be candid, when we first started, I thought this might just be a small boutique business. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know how many people had the same serious interest in supplements. But what we found is over time, it's almost been explosive because people become more and more educated, and their willingness to spend the time, the mental energy to learn about what to put in their body and how best to take care of themselves has really gone up. I mean, I'm quite excited about where we're at today and the enthusiasm that consumers show towards really learning about their bodies and what they're doing. Maybe it's self-care is the term where people are kind of into that. And I know it's not, everybody can't do it because they have a deficit of time with family and work, but we just see this growing sort of army of people that are really dedicated to utilizing good products because of how it impacts their health today and tomorrow. And that excites us.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people are aging and they were tired of processed food, and a lot of the new generation is actually interested of having better health. So, yeah. You know, compound the both of everybody in there, and you get people very interested by good nutrition, good supplement. And so your sourcing standards are extremely selective. So what does the process look like for choosing new farms? Because out of 5 million worldwide, for instance, that fit your organic and sustainable criteria, how do you choose them?
So we do several things. Our initial standards are important. And so when you have certified USDA organic standards, that means that not just the farm, but how the raw material is handled at every step of the process, including how it's transported, where it's received to, you know, our assembly or manufacturing facilities all have to have levels of certification. So in the way you're able to check, not only do we have our own visits to farms and things of this kind, but we also use organizations like QAI or Oregon Tilt. These are large, successful organizations that manage these kinds of things with the paperwork accountability. You can do DNA samples of what you buy in the field to make sure it matches what you have at the end. So what you're inputting into your products meets the expectations of potency and purity. We do third-party testing. So we're looking for environmental pollutants. Are they present in the food? Some states like California, where you live, Prop 65 guidance gives you a tremendous amount of support in the standards that you're trying to establish for the products. And so there's a lot of things we can do in this regard. And then we also, as a company, we're B Corp certified. We're very proud of that. It's kind of third-party accountability on our practices, our statements, even how we treat our staff, right? Living wages, human resources availability, other dynamics. And then we look for fair trade type of environments for people to make sure that those working in the farm environment, the manufacturing environment, are getting treated the way, frankly, we want to be treated. And so we're trying to take this broad view, because what we want to do with the business we create is to create an economy that really supports growing and delivering the best of the best practices. I don't have my head in the sand. I realize that on a global scale, there's a role to be played by conventional farming, particularly if you're trying to deal with difficult large population situations. But as a practice, everything we can do with our support of organic economies that can lead to more farmers adopting organic practices, more farmland being farmed with certifications of organic, then that's a role we can play to not just impact our business in this moment. In fact, that won't mean a lot in the moment, but it will lead to better outcomes in the future, higher levels of availabilities of crops, and just even more supply. And so we're just trying to take this long view that we participate not only with our own economics, right? We're a for-profit company. We need to earn a living doing this, but we can also create something that does more in the future, right? When I'm no longer in this chair, and hopefully somebody much younger is, you know, sort of doing these things and just growing this dynamic so consumers have these choices.
So good to hear that. Earlier, you talk about detox, not cleansing. What's the difference? Because seriously, I don't know. For me, detox, cleansing is the same thing, but I noticed that you said, I'm talking about detox, not cleansing. What is the difference?
For most people, right? I can't speak for everybody. For most people, when they hear the word cleanse, they think of a bowel cleanse, an enema. Maybe they think about prep for a medical treatment, right? Whatever that happens to be. Those can be herbal-based. Maybe it's a fast, juiced fast, where a person's going through a cleanse. They're generally talking about something, though, that's a cleanse to their digestive or bowel systems in some form or fashion. It's a loose term that people describe in different ways. Detox really speaks to looking at the levels of, say, heavy metals, cadmium, lead, mercury, whatever happens to be, or even exposures to volatile organics, PFOSes, and looking at what can I do to support my body's native systems to get rid of those, right? Between your breath, you know, your breathing, sweating, bowel movements, urinating, your lymphatic system. I mean, you've got a lot of systems in your body to support detox or getting rid of things. But in a modern world with 100,000+ man-made chemicals that, you know, the body just didn't evolve to deal with. I mean, maybe it'll be evolved in 1,000+ years. I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of things that the body doesn't even know how to react to. So it creates inflammation. It may sequester it in the fat cells. We know that things like lead, let's just take lead, for example. You know, most listeners are going to know about things like Flint, Michigan and the impact of lead in the drinking water on particularly children. But it isn't just cities. It's rural areas as well. It's exposures on farmland. It's non-discretionary how that works. And it's a neurotoxic substance that we know can impact negatively the IQ function, cognitive function of children, but also adults. At age 62, I was born in 1963. So I'm at the end of the baby boomer era, which is 46 to 64. There's a real problem for the baby boom generation because our exposure to lead was really at a whole different level than the prior generation or the generation after for one simple reason: the burning of lead-based gasoline in automobiles. Mm. Automobiles into the 50s, well into the 60s and 70s, right? Early 70s, you've got more automobiles on the road sort of than ever in history before, and they're burning lead-based gasoline with very minor amounts of emission control. California, kind of the first place to even introduce this idea. And so that emissions was lead-based emissions, pervasive in the air, in the water, in the soil. And so my generation, the baby boomers, right, we just had this exposure. And unfortunately, the body doesn't just rid itself of lead very effectively. There's an accumulation, a buildup over time that can impact our immune system, hormonal function, central nervous system, just all these various issues. And it can also impact something called executive function. And executive function is just a term utilized to describe the ability of a person to react to right and wrong, or even functionality on just general decision making. And if you look at our generation compared to the ones before and the ones after, we score the worst as a whole population, right? There's this curve, and the curve's quite negative, and a real sort of warning sign about the vulnerability of baby boomers. This is true of others, but more so baby boomers, on brain issues associated with things like dementia, Alzheimer's, in indirect fashions. We know a little bit about Alzheimer's. We know a little bit about amyloid deposits, and that cardiovascular health seems to be one of these great determinants and or genetic factors. But the environmental exposures likewise play a role that we don't fully understand. And so it's not sexy to talk about. It's kind of like fiber. Fiber is not sexy to talk about. But if you want to lower your mortality, eat more fiber, get more fiber, right? You want to increase your vitality and impact mortality, limiting your exposure to heavy metals, environmental pollutants, and doing what you can to support how your body gets rid of them. It's not sexy, but that's how that works.
I mean, sometimes we try to do also the right thing, and we hear that there's plastic in fish, you know, stuff like that. So now I'm afraid to eat fish. Back in the 90s, there was the mad cow in France. I mean, I'm like, what can we eat now? It's so complicated.
Well, you know, that's a legitimate question, right? It is concerning. And our product line is vegan. The majority of my meals are vegan, but I'm not a complete vegan. That is not something I can sit here on the podcast and say, but I try to limit the amount of animal protein or animal food products in my diet. And certainly they're clean. very conscientious of sourcing. But at the end of the day, I don't think we can totally isolate ourselves from, say, microplastics.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm looking at the statistics as a 62-year-old male, I probably have between 3 and 5 grams of plastics in my brain, prostate, in my body, right? And by the time I get into my 70s, it's likely to be between 7 and 8. And if you look at all the, here's one sourcing. All the clothing that's made from recycled plastics. Now, this is an irony. And we all have these synthetic clothing, right? It's around us all the time. And every time you put it in a dryer, it atomizes those plastics into such fine particles that they're easily breathed in.
Nope.
And so, you know, what the heck do we do, right? And so my attitude is I'm going to try to make myself aware, eat as clean as I can without being obnoxious. I'm going to try my best to have good sleep protocol. Exercise, big believer in exercise. I don't think we can, there's no data to suggest not exercising is good, right? Drinking as much water as possible. I try to avoid the obvious things. I'm not a soda drinker or these types of things. Yeah. I just think can be a recipe for disaster. If you're a soda drinker, can you drink less? If all your meals are eaten out or they're fast food or ultra processed, can you eat one less a day? Make one change, right? Make one change. And I do try to eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables as much as possible. I supplement with fiber. I try to eat high fibrous foods because that's one way to sweep things through the body. But at the same time, you got to live. You know, you got to have a glass of wine on occasion and celebrate family and life and a little bit of cheese and a little bit of bread. But you can just try to do it wisely and maintain a level of moderation and educate yourself, right? So I don't think there's a complete answer because I don't think we can live in isolation. But you can use detox products. You can get more fiber. You can supplement wisely. And these things make a difference.
Yeah, detox. What is your zeolite detox products? Because you talk about that, especially about that. That's it's really pure. So people can use this one if they want to do what exactly? They want to start detoxing?
So zeolites are really an interesting mineral. It's a natural mineral that occurs when lava or playa lakes or ocean water, salt, basically saline water, collides with lava or lava ash. They grow. And zeolites are not unique in terms of just we know about them. They've been around for thousands of years, hundreds of years in the food supply. They enjoy grass status by the USDA, which means they don't really have a contraindication, so safe for consumers to use. Particularly one type of zeolite called clenoptilolite, which is a sheet-like zeolite. This is what we use. We use it's mined here in the U.S. It's Prop 65 compliant out of the ground. If you looked at it under a microscope, it almost looks like Swiss cheese. It's got little cages and channels that have a negative charge. But that's really, it's genius. It's naturally formed. That negative charge, when you mill it properly, get it small enough, we have a nano-sized version for cell structure, and you treat it properly so it's bioavailable, but it's in the body and it comes in proximity to heavy metals, environmental pollutants, even at like the angstrom level, it'll bind and even leap to the surface through what's called a zeta effect, almost like a snowball. And because zeolites are non-essential minerals, they process out of the body in 4 to 6 hours. So it's a really easy, dental, brilliant way to detox, really far superior because it's specifics to, say, clay, charcoal, or anything else a person can look at in the natural realm. It's just really genius and fascinating. It's a very successful global product for us. We have 1 million-plus bottles out in the marketplace, people successfully using it. Simple, it's odorless, tasteless, little spray bottle. Keep it in your pocket, your purse, briefcase, whatever, backpack, whatever it happens to be. And it's just a simple way to day in and day out help to manage exposures to heavy metals. And we don't think there's anything out there, either natural or synthetic, that includes synthetic zeolites, that really can perform the way that a properly prepared and sized, naturally mined clenoptilolite could perform. And so it's just a tremendous tool for people. You combine that with fiber, a lot of water, you know, losing your breath with exercise, you're really making a big impact on how toxins are released and how your body functions and gets rid of toxins.
Well, that was my last question I was going to ask you. You know, for families who want to begin reducing their toxin load, I think you just answered, what would be the first practical step they can take today? So I guess exercise, drink a lot of water, take some good vitamins.
Yeah, I do. Here's advice I give people, because I do get this all the time. Yeah, less fast food. You know, people will say to me, Eddie, where do I start? I say, well, first, just take a few moments and think, what do you want? What do you want that you don't have today? Mm-hmm. You don't sleep well, energy's down. Maybe you look in the mirror and you're not excited about what you see. What is it, right? There's something there that's kind of motivating you to engage intellectually, either with a conversation like this or an article in the paper, whatever it is, right? Really get honest with yourself what you want. Make it real simple. I want to have more energy in the day, sleep better, whatever it is. I want to lower my risk of heart disease, whatever it is. And then this is really important. How important is it to you? If you try to do a scale of 1 to 10 and say, how important is this to me? And your answer is something less than an 8, you're probably not going to do it. Because anything you do requires a little bit of change. And you might have to spend a couple bucks a day. And so people don't stick with stuff that they're not really committed to. And so I tell people all the time, don't buy anything. Don't put anything on the shelf in your kitchen till you kind of know what you want and how committed you are. And then pick up one or two or three things, not 10. Yeah. And think about how it's going to fit in your day. You can do it in the morning. You can do it at lunch and sort of see how it fits, because I want people to do things that they can continue with. Your life is going down the highway and this needs to merge in. I'm not big about all these wholesale changes at once, because I think people struggle to keep up with that. And starting and stopping can erode a person's confidence and belief that they can make a difference in their life. And I believe everybody can make a difference if we just find a good starting point and we find something that's important to them. And so that's my advice and my approach. Our detox product, Pure Body Extra Strength, is probably as strong a place to begin as you can get. It's got a companion for the gut if people have gut issues, called Pure Body Regular. And if a person's sort of like, I'm going to go all the way and do three things, our Super Green Juice Dreams product will serve you well, particularly at the holidays. And so those are sort of my approaches, because I want people to begin the journey and still be on the journey.
Yeah.
3 months, 6 months, 9, 12, and for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Start small, right? Not
start small.
Everything at the same time, because it can get overwhelmed. Yeah.
A little pebble tossed into the water creates a ripple all around.
And something just came up to my mind. I take medication for blood pressure, so those supplements won't interfere. I mean, you're not a doctor, so I don't know if you know, but
I'm not a doctor, but they have no contraindications.
Okay,
as described by regulators. So,
okay,
you know, if a person is taking medication that really requires some attention to a really special diet, they should continue to do that and look at things closely.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So before we go, do you have maybe a little special for our listeners that you can offer for your products? Because your products are good. So
yeah.
I'm sure they want to test them.
We do. We really, when we have a chance to meet new people and new audiences, we like to give them, you know, something as a token of our respect. And so we'll get you a link to put in your show notes that can provide as much as $50 off a first order.
Nice.
Everything's unconditionally money back guaranteed. We have I think 60,000+ five-star reviews. We've been around a long time. Wow. We have good ratings. And so once we start a customer relationship with someone, we want to keep it.
Okay.
And so we'll get that for your show notes. And I won't be shy about inviting people to try us out.
Great. Thank you very much, Eddie. Yeah. So I can't wait to add everything in the show notes. And thank you for coming. Thank you for giving us all this information. I mean, personally, I just learned a lot today.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy about that. You know, I like this kind of topic. And I thank you again for helping everybody in the world.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hi, my lovely listeners. Thank you so much for listening to my last episode. I really appreciate it. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now, and I have a new path in my life, and this is fantastic. I love it, and I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're
interested about having a sound bath, or if you want to know about sound bath, you can just send me an email. I will put everything in the show notes, and this way you can have a look and just contact me through my website. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and reconnect with your inner peace, let's have a virtual sound healing sessions designed to help you release stress and restore balance using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guiding meditation. Each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. Shift your energy and raise your vibration. Visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today.